This is Roni's Own Radio. Now, Roni's Own Radio is a show where we present views and interviews about everything from God to Star Wars and everything in between, in about 30 minutes. We hope to enlighten, enrage, and engage you by looking at topics from many different angles. You never know what you're going to get with Roni's Own Radio, but it will always be a very, very different podcast. Roni's Own Radio. Check us out at jrdonline.com. And now, on with the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Roni's Own Radio, number 42. And we now continue our discussion about Lost and the themes of Lost. And some are religious, some are not, but they all are very important. And it's pretty cool to kind of break it down and dissect it. Again, on the Skype phone, I apologize for the recording of it, and it doesn't really sound all that good. I apologize. If we do ever do it again, it'll sound a lot better, promise. I have an iRiver that I'm going to use. Anyway, we jump back into our discussion about Lost, and at the end, we're going to have a special section about the top five religious themes of Lost by two good friends of mine who have a great Lost podcast. That's Cliff and Stephanie, and we will have that after myself and William's discussion is over, and we'll go from there. So here we go. We're going to go back with William and myself talking about Lost.
Oh, and then it's progression. Oh, man, so many things that went on throughout this whole conversation there. The last bit is, what is reality?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the beginning, you know, we weren't shown the monsters to begin with.
Right.
We were shown their effects and the people's reactions. And even they doubted, you know, or wouldn't talk about it or discussed it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were many scenes where it seemed like, wait a minute, were they running? Did something really happen, or were they hallucinating?
Mm-hmm.
Were they visited by ghosts or in some sort of Twilight Zone thing? So what was reality? Was this, and knowing about the button, knowing about the film and the Dharma thing, is this a big
joke,
psychological experiment?
Right.
And when you talked about, you know, the question, no, we're the good guys. Well, I guess it depends on what you're trying to do and your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
From the point of view of the people that crashed, you know, in the front of the plane, the good guys are the people that are just trying to survive on this nutty island and get the heck off.
Mm-hmm.
But others who say they are the good guys, what is it that they're doing other than spying on them, threatening them, and then capturing them and imprisoning them? That was the one question. I don't know if you've seen the first episode of the season yet.
Yes.
Yeah. All the things which they could have asked their captors,
mm-hmm.
what didn't come out is, okay, if you're trying to be nice to me and you want me to eat this food or take that medicine or what have you and you've got this file on me, why am I being held captive?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that they are doing that makes them the good guys, that these people who didn't willingly, as far as we can tell, put themselves on that island, are to be treated. I mean, they're not being treated as equals. They're not being treated humanly.
Right.
So what is it, what gives them the others, you know, what makes them the good guys in their eyes? What gives them the authority,
mm-hmm.
to do with other people like they choose? And the notion of reality again, Hurley.
Right.
Hurley falls in love. But then again, Hurley won the lottery.
True.
Using the numbers that they have to type into the darn machine.
Right.
And Hurley, when he finds out he's in love, remembers his time in the psych ward.
Mm-hmm.
And Hurley starts to wonder if maybe, just maybe, this isn't real, but just something going on inside his head.
True, yeah.
And when that happened, I was like, oh, that would be a great explanation for this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would really work for me. And then poor Libby, because then she gets killed off.
Right.
With just that one little glimmer that maybe she was in the psych ward too.
Yeah.
And, I want to know more.
Yep.
But what's real?
Right.
I mean, yeah. I have the feeling that when we come down to the series finale,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen is one of them is going to rub their eyes. They're going to be looking out at the audience, and they're going to say, thank you for coming to tonight's performance. Mm-hmm. And everyone will clap their hands and get up and move out of the studio or the theater, and they'll open up the doors, and they will be on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And it will have just been a play for the people on the island, a play within a play, and we'll be even more confused than ever.
Okay. Just so you know, I don't know how much of an internet digger you are for information, but...
I don't.
Those types of questions have been answered already, and J.J. Abrams said, no, it's not a dream. No, it's not a time machine. No, it's not, you know, whatever. So... he said, everything that we're showing, we can explain legitimately through science. So, anyway, take that for what it's worth.
Well,
okay.
I still think it could be a play within a play.
Okay, let's talk about the island itself. Not the movie with Ewan McGregor, but the island in Lost, okay? The island has some type of power. Now, Desmond... was, you know, typing in these numbers, and...
We think of Beatles songs whenever we say Desmond.
True. And you get the feeling, perhaps, that those numbers were staving off perhaps some type of a magnetic power that was drawing in planes... but there's a boat that crashed too, and that kind of a thing. So, I mean, there's obviously some type of pulling to the island that draws things there. And I wouldn't, you know, put it past maybe the Bermuda Triangle or something like that, but the island has mysterious power, one. And two, I just want to touch on definitely, the island has some type of healing power as well, because Locke can walk. And he couldn't before. And then we also have little inklings that Rose is healed from her cancer. And, you know, was she telling Bernard that just to kind of give him hope or I don't know what? And also Sun becoming pregnant. Was it just the natural turn of events? Or was it that, you know, finally, you know, whatever? I mean... Anyway, but the island and the mysteries and the healing power of it, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, A, it's easily explained if, you know, if it's inside someone's hallucination.
Okay, let's move on from there.
It's not. Okay, fine. It's not. you know, and individually, it could be that you know how we see the signs that, you know, that say quarantine from inside the bunkers?
Right.
Okay? And it could be that everything outside of the bunker, not just the island, but the whole world, has some kind of pathogen or some kind of bad influence. I think they were hinting to it with the whole episodes where everyone kept searching for cures in Australia.
Okay.
When they're doing the one about, the lady and the man who are separated,
mm-hmm.
Is that there's something which causes, you know, health to deteriorate, bad things to happen to cells outside of this area.
Okay.
And... you know, Rousseau had been there for 16 years or
mm-hmm,
whatever,
mm-hmm.
but she's on the sound. They seem to be doing fine. The power generator had been going, so they have power. I think it might be something to do with maybe that island, they're going to say, is the Garden of Eden type thing, or it's a pristine environment that hasn't been touched by something which causes badness. Maybe it's electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's... human waste, something, but something is naturally good about it. But it's not so much that it's that the island is good; it's that the world away from the island is contaminated.
Hmm.
If it was just Locke, I would say something about the way he got jarred
right?
You know, during the crash, that did something. You know, mm-hmm. if the spine was a problem, then you know the spine could be out of whack by a crash or impact. Maybe it got put back. Maybe there was a pinched nerve that was unpinched.
Right.
Getting pregnant, I suspect it's not Jens.
Right.
So
right.
Therefore, no mystery. It's someone else. It just better not turn out to be Sawyer. You know, his other sock puppets are dead, but, you know. What else? And they're doing something. They separate the kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So something's got to be strange about that.
Well, okay, let me wax religious for a little bit here, is that there are some people that when they study the Garden of Eden and they study the first, you know, book or so of Genesis, and it discusses, you know, how there was just this boom of introduction of plants and animals, and it was just boom, and things were just there, that the earth had very growth hungry, It was just the most fertile place in the world at that point, and that things would just grow and grow and grow, and the animals would, you know, populate and get grow and all this kind of stuff, and that it, as time went on, that the rest of the world, I mean, you know, the world began to kind of fall apart like an old truck, you know, and all this. And so it's interesting that you would bring up the Garden of Eden, because, you know, perhaps in the story of Lost, that is the only untouched area, you know, perhaps somehow because of this maybe area around it that's keeping things in and keeping other things out, maybe. I mean, we don't know. I mean, maybe there have been people that's come to rescue them, but they can't get in. And also, remember Russo mentioned, my other party got sick. And what was the sickness? And just kind of like what you were saying, what is that sickness?
Yeah, we don't know. And it sounds like it's something that's contagious or can be caught.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what they're concerned about. They're trying to figure out who has it, who doesn't. And if they don't, why don't they? Or if they do, why do they?
Now, definitely, it's very interesting that they come there and they have little food, and they're never really worried about food. I mean, don't you find that interesting? And all of a sudden, you know, after they discover the hatch, then they find the food in the hatch. And then we have a very manna falling from heaven-like moment where the Dharma Initiative, I would imagine, drops this food.
Yeah, they seem to do okay. I mean, you know, they don't show us the survivor aspect.
Right,
where they're
right.
always trudging around. I mean, every now and then they'll show you people getting wood or water or doing mm-hmm. fishing when they want to show you them communicating.
Right.
But they don't really dwell on it and say, well, for the next four episodes, we're going to show you an hour worth of somebody casting out to rocks, not catching. Oh, look, he got a squid. So mm-hmm. I assume they're going through, they're dealing with some nuts and berries, but when the boxes fell out of the sky,
mm-hmm.
that was pretty interesting, because now you got to wonder, what the heck is going on?
What caused that?
Mm-hmm. Because up until then, you just had this feeling, like, okay, something happened here in the past, but it's not going on now.
Right.
But when something drops from the sky now, it means, hey, the outside world knows about this place. I mean, I don't think anyone's said it like this, but the outside world knows about this place, and they're just happy leaving these people here.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to help them out at all, and they're going to leave them up to the whims of wild animals who have gotten what? How many of the people have been taken by wild animals?
Mm-hmm.
One.
And
how many have been killed by other humans?
Right. Now let's talk about the animals for a little bit, and then let's talk about now the opposite of the healing power of this island is there is also death too. So, I mean, what do you think about the animals? I mean, when you first saw them, it was pretty weird. I mean,
yeah, I was like, what? Is this going to be some sort of dinosaur island or something? Because I was thinking, you know, Land of the Lost.
Mm-hmm.
you know, oh, it's dinosaurs, it's Jurassic Park on steroids, great. But I guess they had cages. So were they captured or bred? Were they engineered?
Well, in the orientation video said they study zoology. So perhaps maybe they were bred, but, you know, we don't know.
I think that they just weren't specific enough. I think the zoology they study are humans.
Okay. But they show polar bears.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think they started off studying animals. But, okay, let's say you have a polar bear or an albino squirrel.
Right.
You can see it running around for a little bit, but in the end, what does it really tell you? I think they decide it's the study of the people. I mean, that's why they had a station where you got to monitor the people pressing the code.
Well, and that, I think, that's obviously when Locke really kind of had his moment, but it was just when Desmond explained the whole button thing and then it had to be done, and then we saw kind of what happened if you don't press a button at that certain time, and then they discover the other hatch, and we find that that hatch was watching the other hatch and just reporting on what was happening. So then it kind of turns the whole thing over and say, well, then maybe it's not important at all. Or maybe it is. I don't know. You know, and so, you know, that's another whole angle of the island. I want to talk just a bit about Jack's father. I mean, we see him appear on the island alive. And yet he was dead.
No, he was a ghost or a hallucination.
Okay.
No, but then didn't they find his casket but no body?
Right.
That's freaking me out. I mean,
yeah.
Did the animals get it?
Well, that could be.
Did they forget to pack them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, wallet, washcloth, shoot. I forgot something.
And then Walt begins to kind of appear at different places around too. So, you know,
Walt wasn't right to begin with.
Well, yeah. And someone mentioned, I was talking to the other day, that Walt was always wet, and that perhaps he was in the Hydra there. So.
Ooh.
And it's another thing too is the I looked at the Hydra symbol, and it's the Hydra of literature in that it's a dragon with many heads.
Yeah.
And Hydra also refers to water. So, you know, I think we're only focusing on the water aspect, but it could be, you know, maybe monsters or something in the water. Anyway, that's something else too. But okay, the hatch. That was discovered early on by, you know, the boar hunting Locke and Boone. And so the hatch was a big secret. Again, we talked about secrets before. And then, do you want to open that hatch? Is there something in there that we should know? Or is it better left alone? And
oh, dude. If I'm stuck on that island,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to open the hatch.
But then you got Hurley running after you. No, the numbers are bad. Don't blow that open. Was he right, though?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I don't care. I mean, I'm stuck on this island. I've got nothing to do except for, you know, twiddle my thumbs and eat some beans or whatever until someone comes and rescues us. You've either got to make the choice of, is this a temporary adventure, or are you stuck here for the rest of your freaking life?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, you know, or more than 2 weeks, you might as well figure it is, then you got to find stuff to do. You got to control your land, you know, and so you got to see what's in the hatch.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find out what's in the hatch.
What do you think about the whole purgatory thing that's always mentioned? That the island is purgatory, and they're all dead, and this is kind of their last chance to maybe make amends and fix what's not right in their lives. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I hadn't heard that.
Okay.
But like I said, I don't do the, what do you call it,
Well, okay, but let me point to something really specific. In just the last episode, you have a woman with kind of a very, you know, heavenly mysterious rim light around her with a file that says, "This is your life." I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just another allusion to it, so.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it, but now I just see you making a pretty decent case for it. Interesting. Keep going.
Well,
I'm just
going to
chew
over
that. I hadn't thought about that way before.
Yeah, and that was actually one of the earlier the theories that I kept hearing, is that it was purgatory. And that, you know, this was one last chance to kind of finish up business. And there's so much unfinished business on that island. I mean, my gosh, there's just, you know, people that you know, fathers that never said they loved them, fathers that you know, never really made amends to the kids, to Jack, to Sawyer, to, I mean, on and on and on. There's just so much of that. I mean, and that's normal life. I think there's a lot of situations in our lives that just aren't, you know, going to be worked out. So you do the best you can and you just keep moving. But I think that's an interesting thing to think about. I mean, other people think it's hell and that it's kind of their reward for whatever they were doing. But I think that and we need to kind of come into a landing. I mean, there's theory after theory after theory. There's so many levels to it. But I think the most important one to me, we'll talk about this, and then we'll kind of talk about my theory about the others and the little suburbia that they have there. One of the biggest little themes that I see is the connection between everyone on that island. That they've all been around each other somehow, somewhere. They've been connected somewhere. You have people that are Muslim. You have people that are Catholic. You have people that are atheist. You have people that are probably agnostic. You have every type of person there is, and yet they're thrown together in this situation, and somehow, but they have all come in contact with each other. Maybe a second or third hand, but somehow they have. And I think, to me, that really kind of shows that we're all connected as human beings. And I know that's kind of this highfalutin kind of philosophical statement, but I think it's important to realize that in a time where, you know, Ireland and the Middle East and all this kind of stuff are at war because of religious beliefs and just beliefs in general and land and different things. And the one of the things that I always just kind of am aghast at is how we could be right next to somebody and never know them. And how this island can bring people together. I mean, there's just so many, to me, really touching moments, like when Charlie's having so much trouble, and Rose, you know, the saintly sage is there and grabbed his hand and said, "Can I pray for you?" I mean, on network television on Wednesday night on ABC, a woman turns, grabs a guy's hand on a network show and says, "Can I pray for you?" I mean, it's utopian society always comes up when you start talking about Lost, because they're having to create this world, you know, with what they have. And it's interesting that everyone has a part to play. You know, you've got the boar hunter, you've got the doctor, you know, you've got the person who prays, you've got all these people, and they all have a part to play. And
take the village.
Yeah, well, it does. And I just I'm happy about that point, is that everyone doesn't have to be like me to be important. And we learn that, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, Saeed, you know, he did torture and kind of fall back into his old ways, but, you know, somehow the island, you know, dealt him, you know, an extra card, and he fell in love with Shannon. And I think it was just a phenomenal thing to see a Barbie doll fall in love with someone in our society today. We would look on and say, he was from the Iraqi Republican Guard. Are you kidding me?
He bad man.
He's the enemy. And yet he falls in love with somebody that we as Americans go, that's American right there. She is, you know, got to be from us.
But yeah.
So again, we have the opposites, you know, and I think this show is really full of opposites, you know, one way in our past life or you know, in life off the plane, and then a different life here and this kind of thing. So
I see it. I see it. Good.
Okay. Here is my final kind of thought, and then we'll wrap it up with anything that really comes to your mind, is that I think that the others that we see in the episode 1 of season 3 revolted against Dharma, and they are the ones that caused the incident, and they let all the animals out, and they can't leave, but they still have to follow some type of protocol, and I'm just waiting to kind of see what purpose they have Jack, Sawyer, and Kate there for. You know, definitely in the things for next show, we see Ben, Henry Gale, pull out something that looks like a map. You know, so maybe that's part of it.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it'll give me every answer has, like, two new questions.
Sure.
And they're only partial, which is great. So how long can they pull this off? I mean, they had 64 people together that crashed in that section or whatever. It's the third season, and they've gone through how many days in the first two seasons?
Mm-hmm.
20? 40?
Right.
Have they even been on there 40 days? Because I know when you watch Survivor, those people get on everyone's last nerve by 40 days out there. You know, how long is it? Maybe that's the reason why we're not, you know, as worried about food and stuff, is because they've only been out there for a month.
Right.
And, yeah, they scrabbled stuff together, but, boy, how long can it go? Can it go 8 years? And will it get canceled, or will they allow them to wrap it up and close it, you know? I'd hate it to get to that point where viewership drops off and they just don't renew it for a season, and so it just leaves unanswered.
Right.
You know, at least with X-Files and even Twin Peaks, even though it wasn't good, you know, they had some closure. But gosh, they better not. I'm just worried about the show.
There is a talk of a movie, and released in the theaters, which kind of takes us full circle. At some point. So, from what I understand, originally they mapped out 3 to 5 seasons. And what I heard is that if the third was good, they'll go to 5. And J.J. Abrams was asked about that at Comic-Con this year. And they said, you know, are you going to stretch it out like X-Files, and is it going to stink? And he goes, no one sets out to do a show and to have it stink. No one. But he says, obviously, when you have, well, I know, but he says when you have a television network that relies on that show for revenue, for ads, sometimes things change, and sometimes things have to be stretched out. And he says no one really has control over that, because you want to have a network show to have a network show, but sometimes there's a lot of things that are tied to it. So I think it's the best show on TV. I think it's the best writing on TV. I'm a little put off by that first show of the third season, but I still have a lot of hope that it's really going to be cool. But the pilot blew me away, and season 1 blew me away. Season 2 was good, but There was enough momentum from that first season to kind of carry me through.
I have to say, when I saw a few clips or read a little bit about it before it came out, I was like, I'll check it out. But I was more excited about the two alien ones, Invasion and the other one, which first one got canceled real fast. Invasion, at least they got through the season. I was really excited about those. I was like, okay, we'll see it. And after watching, like you said, the pilot, the first big episode, you see it over two nights. So I was like, oh, this is going to be the show. I was just, oh, and it was.
Yep. Okay, final thoughts. Just what's off the top of your head? Final thoughts.
I like Lost. I wish they hadn't killed off Libby. I'm wondering what's happening back with the people back at the camps now that we're seeing much more of the others. And I was really worried about Desmond's girlfriend, wife, whatever, because do they have where's she? What's going on there? That's really concerning to me that there's people outside of the island that are aware of it. Now we're getting that connection to it.
And right.
I mean, it just makes me uncomfortable.
Sure. Well, I think it's there's a lot of really, really cool things about the show, and I love the way, just kind of like what we talked about, is that you only see a certain part of somebody's life and you get an idea about them, but then you see more, and then you go, oh, well, I was wrong. No, they faced a lot more than I had thought, and it changes things the more you know about somebody. So, I just think it's a fantastic way to really engage people in discussions that are more than just CSI finding out somebody, you know, how they, you know, killed somebody and it wasn't found out for 10 years. I think it's more interesting to talk about, you know, have you finished all the business that you need to while you're alive? You know, is all your father issues taken care of? Can you fix them? Can you start? I mean, those are some deep issues, so I think it's a great show. I love the show, and there's just a voracious fan base and podcast and all that. And I do want to mention one Lost podcast that I listen to is the Generally Speaking Lost podcast, and we will have actually there is a link on my site to that podcast. It's very interesting. It's a husband and wife couple that have this show, and they talk about Lost. There's a lot of people that give feedback. He works at a church, and I believe he's a pastor, but it's not overly spiritual at all. So, you know, if people really aren't interested in that kind of a thing, they shouldn't worry about it. It is about Lost. And, you know, there's little, you know, mentions here and there, but it's really, I think it's a well-balanced, really cool podcast. So, anyway, check out Generally Speaking Lost podcast. And, anyway, we will wrap it up from here. And I thank you, Mr. William Lundin, for, as always, being very, very interesting to discuss things with. And you always have something very interesting to say.
Thank you for having me on, Jeff, and thank you for bringing the topic. Oh, and this Skype thing worked out pretty decent, I think.
I think so. You broke up now and again, and we'll see how it ends up.
Just use duct tape.
Okay. Talk to you later, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. So Jeff Roney has a podcast, and he had asked me quite some time ago to put together my five favorite religious themes that they portray in Lost. Because,
do you want me to read these?
Sure, if you think you can do that for me.
All right.
I'd love to save along.
Okay. Number one is redemption, the opportunity to start fresh with a clean slate, a second chance.
And where do we see examples of this?
Redemption we see with Charlie.
Kicking the drug habit.
Yeah, we've seen redemption with everybody.
Mr. Echo.
Yeah, Mr. Echo, absolutely. We've seen redemption
on the part of Kate getting a second chance. I mean, breaking free from the handcuffs in season one. So there are definitely a lot of examples of this opportunity to start fresh. In fact, wasn't there an episode in season one titled Tabula rasa.
Tabula rasa.
Clean slate.
Clean slate.
Okay, so... All right. And that is definitely a Christian theme.
Absolutely.
And that you know, when we become Christians, we are offered a clean slate. Okay, and
number
so
two.
Number two.
Salvation. The need for the lost, quote, lost, to be saved. Even baptism was the focus of one of the episodes.
And this is just an obvious one. So,
right.
The entire episode where Charlie, you know, from where he goes back and has a flashback to his mom or a dream or hallucination
right.
of his mom. Save us, Charlie. Save us. And you've got to save the baby. You've got to save the baby. And the whole idea, the baby
right.
must be baptized. I mean, so...
Right.
And then Mr. Echo misquoting the gospel about what the Holy Spirit meant in the dove. And,
right.
And leaving out that the Father said, you know, this is my son, listen to him. So, anyway, they did still brought up baptism and salvation, and I thought they did a pretty decent job for primetime television. Go ahead, number three.
Number three is good and evil, black versus white, the idea that unseen forces are at work in real life.
Yes, definitely some unseen forces. There was some kind of, not just magnetic anomaly, but there was some kind of spiritual draw to the hatch. And in the season 2 DVD, when they talked about that, they even said it was kind of like the hatch was satanic in a way that it pulls out
tempting.
The worst.
Right.
It pulls out the worst in people.
Number four.
Why do you love that?
I don't know. I don't know.
What is my typo this time?
Well, you want me to read it as you wrote it?
Yes.
Okay, it says, forgiveness, living lives of reconciling relationships.
Oh, instead of lives. Okay,
instead of
gotcha.
Lives, living lives of reconciling relationships.
Okay, so forgiveness is definitely a Christian theme, as well as many other religions as well. But where have we seen some reconciled relationships?
Charlie.
Claire and Charlie is definitely one. Some other reconciled relationships.
Jen and Son,
absolutely.
Because at the end of, towards the middle of season one, when he learned that she could speak English, they...
Yeah. How about Bernard and Rose? Remember,
yes.
Rose kind of, in front of everybody, made him look like an idiot.
Yes.
And she had asked for forgiveness. In a way... in the season finale episodes in season 2, kind of Sawyer and Jack.
That's what I was going
to
say.
He says, you're the closest thing I have to a
yep.
friend. I don't know. Do you think that they'll, if they ever bring Michael back, that Hurley will ever forgive Michael? I don't know. But
hold
anyway,
it in, Hurley.
They have shown the need for reconciling
uh-huh.
relationships. And then number the second number four.
Second number, that was the other typo. Number five, sin has consequences beyond hurting just ourselves.
And what would be some examples of this?
I would say Charlie again would be an episode because his drug habit didn't just hurt himself. It hurt his trust or the trust. Let me move this way. The trust that Claire had in him.
Okay, it hurt Claire.
It hurt Aaron because Aaron had grown attached to Charlie, and then he was absent for a time.
Yep.
So I think that's one.
I think that the original Sawyer, definitely that had an impact not only on the person that he directly sinned against, but also... It goes all the way from to James Ford, who all
right.
of a sudden lives this life as a creep as a result, and
right.
And it leads him to be the type of person that wouldn't even give a drink to Kate when offered. So that was pretty bad. So yes,
John Locke's dad.
Mm-hmm. Hurt
by hurting Locke. He in return hurt Helen.
Mm-hmm.
And
broke off that relationship possibly and caused those issues there.
Yeah.
And maybe caused John Locke's paralysis even.
Maybe.
And kept him from going on his walkabout.
His walkabout.
How horrible. Anyway, so those are some top five religious themes that I thought that are in the show. And they're definitely neatly tucked into the to the episode, and you know what? They're actually tucked into our lives on a day-by-day basis. So all you have to do is look for them.
We can't transmit because something else is already transmitting. Somewhere close, the signal's strong.
Train, how would
what
it
kind
even...
of transmission is
it? Could be a sat phone, maybe a radio signal.
Can we listen to it?
Let me get the frequency first. Hold on.
This is a Generally Speaking Podcast Network update.
Hi, everybody. My name's Cliff Ravenscraft.
And I'm Stephanie Ravenscraft.
Together, we record and produce the Generally Speaking Weekly Lost podcast, a fan-based podcast devoted to the hit ABC show Lost.
From the beginning, our purpose has been to take the casual Lost viewer and turn them into Lost-aholics.
It's worked, too. We have thousands of listeners from all over the world, including some of the cast from the show.
Each week, we review the current episode of Lost, where we break the show down into two main segments: character analysis, and exploring the mystery.
We also keep everybody up to date with Lost in the news. You can learn who's going to be interviewed on what TV talk show, and where you can find access to special deleted scenes on the net, and things of that nature.
And of course, we're always happy to take a call from our listener line, where you can be part of our show with your own thoughts and theories. Here's a clip from a call we received from someone who any Lostaholic would recognize.
Hey, Cliff, Stephanie, Tori. Heard you guys talking about me.
We want to invite you to come and get lost with us. You can find us on the web at generallyspeakingpodcast.com.
And if you listen to the Generally Speaking Weekly Lost podcast, you'll understand why thousands of our listeners are saying to themselves,
"We're going to need to watch that again."
If you are enjoying the Star Wars fan audio production you're listening to right now, then don't stop there. Come see what the excitement is about at the internet's home of the Star Wars fan audio genre, StarWarsFanWorks.com. There you'll find podcasts, audio dramas, audio parodies, and more, plus the best and most comprehensive news coverage of the Star Wars fan audio genre found anywhere. It's an entire field of Star Wars audio productions made for fans, by fans, and your audio gateway to that galaxy far, far away is StarWarsFanWorks.com. Join us. After all, it is your destiny. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.
Hi, Steve Webb here, host of the Lifespring family of podcasts. Beginning on December 1st, the Lifespring Advent Calendar will make its debut. Together with James Cooper of the WhyChristmas.com website, a brand new Lifespring member will begin that will enhance your Christmas season. Each day from December 1st until Christmas, James and I will be talking about Christmas traditions from around the world and helping you to focus on the real reason for the season. We'll discover how many of our traditions began, like the exchanging of Christmas cards, bringing trees into our homes, and the singing of Christmas carols. And of course, we'll talk about the very first Christmas gift, the birth of Jesus. If you love Christmas like I do, I think you're going to love the new Lifespring Advent Calendar. You can subscribe today at LifespringPodcast.com. James and I are excited to bring you these very special new shows. Come join us for the Lifespring Advent Calendar from the Lifespring family of podcasts and WhyChristmas.com.
Thanks for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and send us some feedback at jeff.roni@gmail.com. And if you're using WinPotter to listen to this podcast, you can always use the feedback form to your left. Until next time, this is Jeff Roni saying, see you later. Bye. Roni's Own Radio is a Roni's Own audio production.